Wednesday the 16th of June, Dalad Tammuz. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family Shai Yashuv, Lechovet and Nisoim Hayom, Shel Chaim Bodner and Tova Shai Yashuv. Rabbi Yechiel Levenberg, The Danger of Transplants.
I'd like just to discuss today the problem which is in Israel, that Baruch Hashem, after Israel passed the laws protecting the people and protecting the bodies of people, and they made the Issa of Netuche Mason, it was a great help in preserving the Kovod HaMeis, but it also created a great problem as for the people who need transplants. It's very hard to get. If people don't carry a transplant card, where are you going to get the limbs, the things that are needed, the organs that they need for transplanting? And this is a big problem in Israel. And lately, over the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a solution. And one of the professors in Hadassah raises a problem with this solution, and that's what we'd like to discuss today. The solution was, you go to China, and a lot of Israelis have been advised by the Israeli professors to go to China, and to there, there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of organs available for transplant.
Made in China.
What?
Made in China.
Made in China. Now, the problem with this is the following. The standard of the standard of the operations and everything is similar to the Western world. And the success rate was very high. And the professor in a letter, which I've got here in front of me, writes to Rav Zilberstein, who is the son-in-law of Rav Yashiv, Rav Yitzhak Zilberstein, the Rav in Ramat al-Hanan in Bnei Brak. And he writes, should I advise the people who come to me for the transplant? They always look for where can we source this organ, and I could tell them China. But the problem is as follows. China has a clear declaration and a national policy that they follow everything as in the Western world. And the source of these organs are officially always and exclusively from people who die in traffic accidents. And they will not take officially organs from anywhere else. And all these people who come will get an organ only from someone who has died in a traffic accident. That's the official government policy. And the problem with this is that there's been persistent rumors that from people who originally lived in China, and amongst them is a certain professor who previously was a surgeon in China, and he says, and they say, that it's just not true. They do take organs from people who obviously die in traffic accidents. But they also have a rule that people who the Chinese courts have said are condemned to die, so they keep them, instead of killing them when they are ruled to be that they're chayav nisa, that they have to die, instead of killing them immediately, they put them in hospitals and they keep them as a supply of organs, four organs. And instead of killing them, they hold them, and then when someone comes in and needs a transplant, or someone from abroad comes and is prepared to pay their fee, which they charge, which is quite high, is they will then source who has a match from amongst those people who are condemned to die, and they will take then and take the organs out of these live people and kill them at the same time. And this is what these people, these exiles from China, have been telling us. And amongst them was one of the surgeons who said he did it himself. And that's why he escaped. He couldn't bear it. And he escaped and left China and is now in the West. This is the dilemma which we face. On one hand, the official government policy, only people from traffic accidents. On the other hand, we have these persistent rumors that it's not true. They're actually killing people in order to get these organs. And the reason being is the government makes money. People in the hospitals make money. And according to the reports from the exiles, there's 35 hospitals in China that store these people, where these people are living, waiting to die, these condemned people, their death row is in a hospital. And that is the situation. The question is, which this professor is writing to Rav Zilberstein, is it allowed? Could an Israeli, could I recommend to my Israeli patients to go to China and thus ask for a transplant, and thus might be that they are therefore causing that the they will then kill someone in order to have his organs that he needs. And this is the letter he writes. I've got the letter. The letter's a page and a half. And he writes all the Stodei HaShaila. We haven't got time to go through everything. But let's, how would the Adam Godel approach such a question? Now, where do we find in Shas? The first thing is the credibility of the government versus the credibility of the people who left and sailed us. Who do we believe? The source for this would be a Gemara in Gittin, a Mishnah. The Mishnah Daf Yud Amud Bey is in Gittin. And the Mishnah says as follows. Kol ha-shtorois ho-eilim ber-koye shel avodas kechovim. Afal pi she-chosmeyem avodas kechovim, kshayim. Chutz migitei noshim v'shechuru avod. So the Tanna in the Mishnah says like this. I've got a document, a shtar, which is, you'll see from the Gemara, assumes it's any type of shtar, which is a document, either that I'm going to give a present, or a sales document, and it's certified. This document came from a non-Jewish court. Now, it's signed, sealed, everything was done in a non-Jewish court. So the Tanna in the Mishnah says, Afal pi she-chosmeyem o'idei kechovim, it's signed by a goy. Ksheirim, it's a valid document. There's only two exceptions. Chutz migitei noshim, which are v'shechuru avodim. Of course, the non-Jewish court can't do a Yiddish get. It's the puzzle. A goy can't be megarish, because a goy is ainu begitin the kedushin. And secondly, shechura avodim, the freeing of a slave. Those two documents are the exception. They're not acceptable from a Jewish court. Rab Shimon Aimer, afeilu kshevim, even a get, and even a shtar shechura, it's also allowed, even if it comes from a goyish court. Loi huskeru, it was not mentioned that it's possible, ela bezman shenasu bechit. The only time when they say it's invalid from a goyish court, if it's not a professional court. Kangaroo court, would we call it. A court that's not really officially a court. And a few people get together and they rule people. So then it's possible. But if it's a genuine court, with legal status of being a court, it's valid, even by a get and even by a shlash. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon. So the Gemara says, Kaposik v'toni loishno mecha loishno matona. When the Mishnah says that every shtar is a right, even from a goyish court, it doesn't differentiate between a shtar mecha, a shtar which shows that there was a sale, or a loishno shtar matona, that I'm going to give him a present. So the Gemara says, like, and there's a very big difference between the two. Bishlam mecha michiyoev zuzi kamayu hu dekon ushtora raya balmo. If you have a mecha, now there's a different type of document for a promise that I'm going to give someone a present, and I'll give them a document that makes me mechayev me to give the present, or a document that I made a sale. Because a document that I made a sale, raya ba'almahu, it's only proof as what I've done. The lo yoev zuzi kamayu lehave marin nafshayu v'kos v'neishtora. So what did Bezdin do in the shtar mecha? That shtar mecha means I made the purchase. I gave the gentleman money and I bought his property off him. So what made the kinyan? My money. Karak is nicknamed the kasef. I gave him the money. What is the shtar doing? It's attesting to an historical fact that I gave the money and the purchase has been made. So the shtar is not making the kinyan, it's not doing anything. It's only proof to what's been done, what's already been done. So what is the Bezdin of this non-Jewish court? What are they doing? They're attesting to the fact as to what happened. So they're only giving really a certificate, attesting this is what took place. So they are a professional court, they have the integrity of the court to defend, they have to keep the status intact. They therefore issue a shtar that Reuven gave money and the karka became his. That's all they did. They didn't really do anything. They're just giving you a document to say that that's what happened. So that's partial that a goy can do it because they have the integrity of the court, they have the status they're trying to uphold, and therefore we can trust them. So that's simple, the Gemara says. But however, what about a shtar of matona? So there the shtar is being mechayev the person to give it to him. So the shtar is really achieving something. Who says a goy can make such a shtar? How can that be? So the Gemara says that, and that shtar, the shtar chas bevalmu. So answers the Gemara, O mashmua dina de malchusa dina. The answer is, it's a goyish court, but that is the law of the land in that place where the court is. This is the official court, therefore they have the power to make a shtar, therefore this shtar is a valid shtar. So Shmuel, that's what Shmuel says, dina malchus adina, even though it's a non-Jewish court. The Ibayis Eima, otherwise he'll say, Tomi chutz mikagite noshe. That's a second parents in the Gemara, that any shtar which is similar to a get, that means it has to achieve something, which includes even a shtar matana, then it's not valid by a person shalach. Then the Gemara discusses how can Rav Shimon possibly say that the get is kosher, shtar shechra is kosher, how can that be? By a goyish court, the Gemara says that he holds the Masira currency, so there's outside witnesses, so they're not actually using the shtar. We're not going to go into the sugya in detail. What we do see from the Gemara is the validity of an official government. Officials, the government says that that this is the court, and the court says that this is what happened. So Rashi points out that you accept what they say, because once the Bezdin, the court, says that's what it is, the court can be trusted.
Does it make a difference if it's a government that you think you can trust and government?
That might be possible. Okay. Now, if that's the case, so Rav Zilberstein says, see, clearly, the Gemara says you can trust the court because the court has a validity. Kolshkein, you can actually trust the government who appoints the court. So therefore, he says, if the government says that that's what they do, and they only use limbs and organs from people who actually died in a car accident, so therefore, you can trust. That would be the opening shot in this. How far does this go, that the Gemara says you can trust the government? And we see it's even more than this. The Gemara in Baba Basra gives a rule. And the Gemara is not giving them advice. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that if you want to build a shul, and we have an existing shul, we'd like to update it, we'd like to put it right, and make it a bit more modern, a bit more useful, and we'd like to pull down the shul and build a new shul. So the Gemara says, Osa lares beis knesses lefnei shaboinim beis knesses ach. You're not allowed to pull down your shul with the intent of rebuilding the shul. You're not allowed to do it. Because the Gemara says, Shema yifshu v'la yevnu. We all have, with all the good intentions, any of us who have been involved in communal work know, with all the good intentions in the world, we're going to pull down the shul, and they pull it down, and when it comes to rebuilding it, there's no funds, and the pledges seem to disappear, and there's trouble. The Gemara says it's not allowed. You want to rebuild the shul, buy a plot of land, build your new shul there, don't pull down the old one till you have the new one. That's the Gemara. But the Gemara raises a question. Baba ben Buta, Aspele Eitzela Hordes, the mystery of the Beis HaMikdash. Baba ben Buta advised Herod to pull down the Beis HaMikdash and build a nicer one. Build a better one. See, they pulled down the first Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't there. That was the advice he gave them. How can he give them such advice? It's against the rules. Like this Danish based Knishla, the Bonnie based Knishla, got him to do that. Answers the Gemara in the second answer, Malchusa Shai. That means he was the Malach for this. And if the Malach says he's going to do it, it's done. Because the Gemara says, Malchusa Krona Turi, Oka Turi Velehadabe. If the king says we're going to pull down the mountain, the mountain will get pulled down. The government says it's going to be done, it can get done, they have the ability to do it, and they will do it, and we don't have to suspect that they're going to change their mind and it won't get done. So the Gemara says a halacha that, by a melech, you're allowed to change, and this rule doesn't apply, and he's allowed to pull down in order to rebuild it. We see how far it goes that the government and the malchus have a thing, and they, first of all, they're believed, and second of all, they have the power to do so. Let's move on. Let's take it to our case. Maxi raised correctly, maybe there's governments that have no nemonas, that I don't know. I don't know which governments you can believe, which you can't. No, we don't know this exactly. What?
None of them.
No, the Gemara says that some are. The Gemara says some are. Now, here's another problem. Let's assume that we can't trust them. Let's assume, for the worst instance, that there is these 35 hospitals, according to these exiles, that do retain people who were given a death penalty, and they retain them for their organs that they want from them. So if I was a gentleman in Israel, and I needed a chas v'shalom transplant, and I was going to go there and say I would like to buy such and such an organ. And they were to then go and say, listen here, what type of blood you have, and they'll make all the tests, and they'll see, they'll find a match, and they'll find someone to supply it. What did I do? Now, I must tell you, these a subject which is a great difficulty, which I've done a lot of research on, because something happened many, many years ago. And that is the question of what is the issur of killing a goy. When I was a young man, and I was in Gated, killing a non-Jew, what's the prohibition? Torah says, Leisirtzach, it's talking about Yahid, mustn't kill the Yids. What is the prohibition of killing a goy? I must tell you, when I was a young man in Gated Koyl, many years ago, I was sitting there, I was learning and there used to be a Dr. Chalk there, the old doctor from Gates, knew him. And he came in, he says, I've got a halachic problem. He walked into Koyl, and he lived not far away, he used to daven in the Koyl. And he asked, he was a Talmud Chacham himself. He said, he has a patient, he just come from someone's house, he had a patient. I was a terminally ill patient from cancer. And he was in terrible pain. And the family begged him to give the patient morphine, because he was actually screaming, he said. He couldn't tolerate the pain. And they asked him to up the dose and give him a higher morphine. And he said, I worked it out. Any more morphine, he'll be dead. The morphine will kill him. And I figured to myself, am I allowed to opt in? The family is begging me. The patient obviously definitely wants it. And the family also begged me, said, we can't leave him like that. I didn't know what to do. So he said he has to run out for a consultation. He left the patient. He came running to the coil to ask the younger life what we think the halacha was. And then we said, I'm thinking at the time, so let's assume that the morphine would kill.
Was it a goy?
A goy. That's not a problem. Now, the question is like this: if he ups the dose, and the goy then will die. He, according to him, he says it's a nicer mitzvah. By just upping the dose, he said within an hour the guy will be dead. He won't be able to tolerate the higher dose. So he said, what do I do? If I don't listen to the family, they're screaming already at me. Mm-hmm. He said, on the other hand, what right do I have to kill the guy? What's the answer? And I remember at the time we started researching it, and there's a Gemara in Chavav and Mebeis and Avodah Zarah, which the Gemara says, Akum le'mailim ve'le'maridim, that means that if there's a guy in danger, I don't have to climb down and try to save him. Not mechuyif to save him. Vayid is a din of Lysama Dadam Reecha, you have to save him. You can't just stand by and let him sing, but they're going, not mechuyif to go save him. On the other hand, it says, Leimaridim, you don't take him down into a pit and you don't kill him. Now the question is a big shailah nishayna. What does Leimaridim mean? What?
Microphone.
Yeah, so the question is, what does Leimaridim mean? Does it mean that you're not allowed to kill him? The mice, you're not allowed to kill him. Leimaridim. But on the other hand, is there an Inissa? Is it a Daraisa? And there's a lot of shittas in it. I can't go into all the shittas, but time doesn't allow it. But it's clear from the Gemara that you don't kill a goy. And according to some shittas, there's a Ravon in Baba Kama, that it is Nichlol, Bizrayu, there is an Issa. Some say it's clearly it's an Issa Daraisa, some say it's an Issa Rabbonan. But Kula al Mamaydi, you can't kill a guy, at least mid Rabbonan. And by administering the high end morphine, Utzicha be a Ritzicha. There's a Bas Yosef, there's a lot of shittas. But there's one thing, but applying it here, let's assume, which everyone basically does, there's at least an Issur Rabbanan, and you can't just go kill a guy. If that's the case, the question is like this. The question is like this. When the gentleman asks for the organ, I am not actually killing anyone. The gentleman who's asking is not killing anyone. He's asking to purchase an organ. What's going to happen? It's going to start a chain reaction. They will then look for a match, then they will find someone, then they, the people in cooperation between the hospital and then the jail and then the courts, they will kill someone and supply him with the organ. What did I do? What did the person do? Now, let's look at it if it was a yid. Forget a second that it was a goy. What if it was a yid? So the halacha is, if they tell a yid, and this is a Gemara Pesachim Daf Chaf Ayin Amud Beis, if they tell a yid, you kill Reuven, or else we kill you. So the Gemara says he's not allowed to kill him. My choses the domach the doch soimet tvei and my doma lachavrek soimet. They say, Reuven, unless you kill him, we're going to kill you. What right is there? He has no right to kill him. Because who says your blood is better than his blood? Who said you can save yourself by killing him? So therefore you have no right to kill. That's the Gemara. But that is, if he has to kill Shimon, he has no right to kill Shimon, because perhaps Shimon is a greater person than him. Perhaps Shimon is more worthy than him. Therefore, what right does Reuven to save himself allowed to kill Shimon? However, and this is a case which is called in the Sefer Imrei Bina, who lived to live in Yerushalayim, is like this. There were two gentlemen in jail, and one of them found an opportunity to escape. And if he escapes, then because the two people are in jail, they will, then the person who's left in jail will be killed. Because they'll know that he knew about it and he didn't do anything to stop him. So in retribution, they will kill him as well. They'll kill him. So therefore, who's the first one allowed to escape? Because he knows that if he escapes, they will kill the other one. Because that's what they told him, that they're both responsible to make sure that each and both of them stay in jail. So the Imrei Bina paskens, and he says, the first one can escape. Because of that, the second one might get killed, or will be get killed. It says, doesn't matter. He is not killing the second one. He is mechuyev to save himself. What the outcome will be, because he saved himself, therefore they will go for the second guy. That's not it. He is mechuyev to save himself. And therefore, because the other guy might get killed, so who said he's better than me, that therefore I'm not allowed to save myself? So here the swore is the other way around. That since I am allowed to save myself, the other guy, he might get killed. All right, that's his problem. But I'm not killing him. So therefore, I'm free to save myself. And if he gets killed, that's his problem. If I have to kill him, I have the right to kill him, because I'm better than him. That is the psak of the movie. And therefore, if you apply it here, it's very clear. And that is, the person who's coming for the transplant is allowed to save himself. According to the basic ideas of the Gemara, and basic ideas, governments believe, the hospitals are believed, and that's definitely their official policy, and that's the face they give to the world, that's what they do. They follow the same ethics as everyone in the West. However, there is a shash that what these people are saying, that there's money involved, there's a market, and these things cause that people do things that they shouldn't be doing. Therefore, there is a chash, but you can still rely on the Rav of them will obviously at least be from the genuine people who die in accidents. Therefore, api halacha it's mutter. When it was brought to Rabbi Yashiv, he said, you have to be careful to fulfill Hashem. You can't go to the hospitals where I'm known that there is prisoners there, and where they obviously are keeping these people. You have to avoid the 35 hospitals, which they do have it, but there's billions of Chinese people, and there's places where you can go. So basically, the halacha is that it's mutter, but you have to be ultra careful to be, there shouldn't be a chil Hashem, shelo yomru yisrol mezalzalim, that people that we are, don't care about the tzura and the mezoyin hames, and has v'shalom the ritzicha, which is the worst issa that there is.
Does it make a difference?